but a chicken and a farmer. So what's the, why would I give the example of a chicken? If you guys know, those of you who've been on farms or been around chickens, you know that chickens never developed a real relationship with the farmer. They don't love the farmer. They don't like the farmer. Their relationship is more based on performance. The farmer goes over and he gives the grain. The chickens, they come, they eat, and they go. But there's a deep emotional attachment, and the chickens are dying because the farmer is not there. No, it's a performance-based relationship. And some people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately, their relationship is like that, performance-based. It's like a work relationship. They come to Allah for their needs, get their needs, they go. But that deep attachment that one should have, feeling longing for God, no. You know, like how when they say in work, when I don't know, many of you, you're in the workplace, and they say, if you don't get your job done, we'll replace you with somebody younger and hungrier. Right? It's performance-based. If you do your job, some people, they're like that with God. So if God doesn't give them what they want, or how they want it, or when they want it, the relationship with God also goes south. It's not deep. It's not emotional. It's not like what we hear described in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. Remember, Lady Zainab had witnessed all of that misery, tragedies which you and I, we can't even imagine, we can't fathom. When they asked her what happened, she said, "Ma ra'aytu illa jamila." I've seen nothing but beauty. Now that is a relationship with God. That after you don't get what you want, things don't work out the way that you intended. You planned one thing, God gave you something else. But the relationship with God is that deep that the person from the bottom of their hearts, not to put on a show, they can say between them and God or anybody else who's asking them, "Ma ra'aytu illa jamila." That's that emotional relationship, that deep connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're looking for. So our question is this: how can you and I learn to love God unconditionally? What can we do? What can we find in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, in the ayat of the Quran that allow us to develop that kind of a relationship? It's not conditional. It's not performance-based. It's not God didn't give me what I want and so therefore I am questioning God. No, my relationship is beyond these things. If he gives, wonderful. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But my relationship doesn't get shaken. How can we develop that deep relationship? So we're going to go over a few points. And inshallah, tonight maybe we'll end a little early. The brothers are saying maybe even we'll go and see the moon together. Inshallah, let's see. Some points. One, point number one. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn not to put God in a box. Not to put God in a box. What does that mean? Sometimes you and I, we want something. We need something. We've been desiring something. We've been asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a particular thing. And we even almost kind of have a plan for God. We tell God, right? And none of us, of course, nastajiru billah, we don't speak boldly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the back of our minds, if you look in our hearts, we kind of already have the plan figured out. God, I want this person to do this thing. I like it this way. I need it this time, right? It's almost like two gods speaking to each other. Equals. This is the plan, Allah. Just stick to the plan. Everything will work out. Whereas the relationship between the mu'min and God is not like that. Do you guys, I don't know how many of you have been for ziyarah. When you go in Kufa, there's a beautiful dua that we read over there. We're talking to God. What's the real relationship of the mu'min supposed to be like with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the month of God, the month where we're His guests, remember the line that we say over there? We're speaking to God. Mawlaya ya mawlai. Master, oh my master. Antal kabir wa anas saghir. You are the big one. You are the great one. You're the grand one. You are kabir. I'm saghir. I'm tiny. I'm insignificant. The believer, if they want to have that deep emotional relationship with God, they're not speaking to God like equals. They know the relationship is an abd to a master. Number two, let's remind ourselves, brothers and sisters, when we're making dua, we want to have that deep relationship with God, how powerful God is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we're going over and we're requesting Him for something, we want to have that deep emotional relationship with Him. How powerful is God? How capable is God? When we say that He has power over all things, I want to remind us all of a story in the Quran that demonstrates, just for a little bit, just enough so at least we understand part of God's magnificence and azama. There's a story in the Quran. It tells us, I'll tell you the verse, inshallah, you can look at the verse later, Surah Baqarah. So this is verse number 259. Right? There's a story in the Quran. Allah talks about a prophet. And this prophet passes by a village, a town, a city that's been utterly destroyed. أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرِيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. He passed by this town, and he saw that the town had been completely destroyed. The roofs had fallen in. Now this prophet, he wasn't doubting the power of God, but when he was looking at that devastation, he was awestruck. He was wondering to himself. He said these words, قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. How will God resurrect this town after its destruction? We're looking at complete devastation. How will God do that? God taught him a lesson for all of us in the Quran. You want to see how powerful God is? God made this Nabi die for 100 years. When he died, he had a donkey with him, and he had fruit with him, food with him, some fruit and drink. What God did was God woke him up after 100 years. He said, how long have you been dead? How long have you been asleep? How long have you been here? He said, a day, part of a day. He made him look at the donkey. He said, look at your donkey. The donkey had been, it's been 100 years, because God told him he'd been here for 100 years. The donkey had completely decomposed. But the fruit and drink was just as fresh as could be. The power of God. The donkey is completely gone, the fruit and drink. Then after that, God demonstrated to him how he can put the flesh back on the donkey. God made him a sign for all of us. So, back to us as believers, how powerful is God? God, just to demonstrate a little tiny bit of how powerful it is, make someone die. They don't even know they're dead. For 100 years, they think they're sleeping. The donkey completely decomposed. The fruit and drink just as fresh. And after that, I'll rebuild the donkey right in front of you. Then after the last part of the verse, fa'alam, God says. It says, a'alam. The Nabi says, قَالَ أَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Now I know God has power over all things. I literally watched a miracle. Now, point number two. There are no limits. So the first one was the idea that we aren't equals. God is all powerful. God is much above us. We come to Him as a slave. Point number two is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits on who He can use to make His miracle or your miracle happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I, we might come, God, I need a house this year. I need this job, this promotion. I want to get married to that person. Right? But God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited. He's not like you and I. There's no limits to who He can use, how He can use to make the miracle happen. Look at this verse of Quran. This is what God says. 48, verse number 7. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Allah, to Allah belong the host of the heavens and the earth. Anything and everything God can use to make a miracle happen. God can use I want to give you an example from modern times and an example from the ancient times. From the ancient times, just as an example, God can use your enemy and make your enemy the means of His will happening. God can use your enemy, the person who's out to get you, that be the means of you getting khair. The story of Musa, if you remember in the, how it is mentioned for us,
They tell us this, that Pharaoh knew there was going to be,
he had received information, there's going to be a boy, and this boy will be born, and the destruction of your kingdom is going to be on his hands. And Pharaoh, in this hadith that I'm going to quote you from the fifth Imam, he says that he was going to handle it. Listen to the words of Musa, Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He quotes what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh said this, لَأَقْتُلَنَّ ذُكُورَ أَوْلَادِهِمْ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونْ مَا يُرِيدُونَ. I'm going to kill all of their boys. You said there's going to be a boy who's going to be born. He's going to create trouble. I'm going to kill all their boys until what they want never happens. What did God do? God made Musa go to the doorstep of Pharaoh. Pharaoh raised Musa. Musa probably was on his lap. Not if God doesn't. And by the way, brothers and sisters, don't think these are fairy tales about the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally in control of the universe. When he says that for him, junudu samawati wal ard, that's absolutely how it is. Once the brothers in the resistance, they were explaining. They said that we would attack an Israeli camp and they would have watchdogs, guard dogs. The dogs wouldn't bark. They put them there to stop their brother. Allah controls the heavens and the earth. It's all in Allah's hands. I want to mention something, brothers and sisters, but I want to make sure you don't repeat this or don't do this at home. Okay? I see some of the younger brothers are here. Don't do this at home. Okay? There's a verse of Quran, very important for us to keep in mind, just to grasp how powerful God is. God says this in the Quran, Surah 3, verse number 145, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتْ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. It is not possible for a soul to die إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, only if Allah gives permission. It's impossible. Does that mean we should be reckless? No, don't be reckless. Do your responsibility. But if God wants you to live, you can't die. I don't know how many of you read this report in the news. There was a woman driving down an interstate. She's driving down the interstate. She set herself on fire while she was driving. She's driving down the interstate. She sets herself on fire. Then after that, she pulled her car over to the side of the interstate, jumped out of her car, and jumped out of a bridge 40 feet down. And the police after that, when they examined her, they said no life-threatening injuries. If Allah hasn't willed, this isn't your time, for whatever reason. Right? Now I'm saying don't do this. Don't think, oh, alhamdulillah, I don't worry. No, I'm astaghfirullah. The point is how powerful God is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he's willed something to happen, that's going to happen. Does this mean as believers we don't do our responsibility? No, we do our responsibility. But we need to know the God that we're talking about. Right? The adama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more knowledgeable than you and I. God can see what's up around the corner. God has solutions for problems we haven't even encountered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows. He sees the big picture for our lives. He knows where we need to be in 10 years, 15 years. He knows whose lives we need to cross, the people we need to interact with, the expression we're supposed to have, the feeling we're supposed to have in our hearts. As we interact, we're all sometimes part of a chapter of somebody else's life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the big picture and he's operating everything and everything's under control. Sometimes, because we can't see the big picture, we look at one piece of the puzzle, outside of the, it doesn't look beautiful. If you see the whole puzzle together, it looks beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of, we can't even compare our knowledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point number four. This one maybe is a little different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unconventional. I said initially, don't put God in a box. Sometimes I think when I look at the problem, the issues, the things that I want, I have a straight line way that I want this to be solved. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we learn from certain verses of the Quran, sometimes he likes to do surprises. Do things that we didn't expect.
There's verses of the Quran that talk about this for the bad guys, verses of the Quran that talk about this for the good guys. One of them is this, Surah 65, verses number 2. It says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The next verse, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for the person from where they didn't expect. I thought it would come this way. I was preparing for this. I thought, Allah says, no, this way. We have other verses of the Quran where Allah talks about the Yahud. The Yahud had these fortresses. They thought nobody can stop them. And a God explains, He came to them from where they didn't expect. They thought everything on the outside, I have it under control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more ways than that. So now, let me share with you one beautiful dua. But this is a dua that they say is recited by our Imam, Imam al-Mahdi. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ala Muhammad. Listen to this dua, beautiful dua. This is what, when the Imam addresses God, this is how he talks about him. Ya man, idha tadayaqatil umur, fataha lana baban lam tadhhab ilayhi al-awham. He's addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that, O He, who when things become impossible, my affairs become knotted, opens for us a door that even human imagination didn't cause human imagination. Allah does things differently. Allah is not limited. Another one that's very important for us to keep in mind is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares. He cares about the believers. He cares about the mu'mineen. It's not that we've been abandoned, that God doesn't know what we're going through. It's true. Maybe I'm going through some difficulty. Maybe I'm experiencing severe tragedy. Maybe I'm dealing with a sickness I've dealt with for a long time. Maybe I'm looking for employment I don't find. Some dua that I'm making and I'm struggling, right? But we want to be able to say from the bottom of our hearts, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I've seen nothing but beauty. How do I do that? Knowing and reminding myself that Allah cares. Look at the Quran. This is what God says about some of His servants. Surah 5, verse number 54. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهْ. يُحِبُّهُمْ. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So God loves them. وَيُحِبُّونَهْ. And Allah loves, and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, a hadith to kind of wrap up this one point, the idea that we're told, but in hadith, don't teach, God's teacher tells us, don't teach me. Don't tell me what's good for you. Don't have that kind of an attitude. You're coming to me, Allah, this is the plan. Don't do that. The hadith is this, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, Ati'ni fima amartu. You obey me in those things that I commanded to you to do. Wala tu'allimni ma yuslihuk. Don't teach me what's good for you. You leave that to me. I'm God. I know. Not two equal. Allah, but I think. Allah doesn't like that. So, something else to help us keep from getting frustrated. Brothers and sisters, we have to keep this in mind. You and I, we're not supposed to focus on the people. When we're looking for a solution to our problems, focusing on the people becomes problematic. What does that mean? When I say focusing on the people, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean we don't go to the people and do our responsibility towards the people. So, for instance, this brother, this sister is someone who knows someone at the job I'm going to this person, I'm using the wasila, and I'm talking, maybe they can open a door for me, maybe they can help me out. This person, I need a loan, I go to the bank, I get, for instance, right, I'm doing my job as a human being. But what am I supposed to be remembering? Those individuals literally can't do anything for me that God hasn't intended. At the same time I'm doing my and the hadith tells us, when you do something, do it well. I do my responsibility. I'm going to the other human being. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm taking in the facts into consideration. But the believer is supposed to know in their heart, everything's in God's hands. Look at this hadith. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Sallallahu Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If all of creation collectively, all of the creation collectively made an effort to do something, to place something at your disposal, and it wasn't written for you, they wouldn't be able to do it. The entire universe gathered. We are going to make this a reality. That's it. Today is the day. They gathered. They tried. Allah hadn't written it. It won't happen. On the other way, he says this. If they decided they would harm you in a particular way, the whole world united, this is it, it's all over. He says, and Allah did not write it that that particular tragedy would befall you, it wouldn't be able to help you, or wouldn't be able to harm you. So, our point that we learn from this is something which is a very important hadith. The hadith tells us this, never put all your hope on anybody. From one side, the believer does everything. I use the means that are at my disposal. But should my heart, in the bottom of my heart, I think this brother, this sister, this owner of this company, this person, they can actually do something. It's a matter of the heart now. The hadith says this, never put all of your trust in anybody. Allah says this, if anyone puts his or her real hope in another person or thing besides me, I will definitely dash that person's hopes. If Allah sees, and sometimes this will even happen in a marriage, or a family member, somebody who I was extremely close to, but I went beyond the point that I started thinking, this person can do something. I put all of my hope in this person. Allah says, I will make sure that that doesn't happen. I will make sure you learn that lesson. It's only me and you. So, then what are we supposed to do? Remember I said we're supposed to do our full effort, do everything that's on our part, do it. If we're going to do it well. But at the same time, the Imam gives us another form of guidance. He explains this to us as believers. He says, when you're looking for rizq, when you're going after something, you're looking for rizq, he says, لِيَكُمْ طَلَبُكَ لِلْمَعِيشَ فَوْكَ كَسْبِ الْمُضَيِّعِ. When you're looking for something, you're trying to get rizq in this hadith, trying to earn my livelihood. He says, make sure your effort is more than that of the person who's negligent. He says, وَدُونَ طَلَبِ الْحَرِيسِ, and less than the person who's greedy. Not like the person, I'm putting it all on my shoulders, I'm going to make this happen. No, not the haris, not the mudayya, I take the middle path. And the last one is to make sure we don't block God's help by thinking badly of. This is something else for us to keep in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He has something lined up for somebody. He wants them to receive this thing. But the person, their part of holding or doing their part of the bargain means they're supposed to keep thinking good of God even when there's difficulty. Some people, when they face difficulty, when things don't go their way, they've tried. I've been righteous for years. I've been making effort. I expect God. Right? I start thinking badly of God at that stage. Because the person starts thinking badly of God, sometimes the person brings down bala on themselves. Right? The hadith is this. I deal with people, God says. He deals with us, the believing servants, based on our expectation. Can you keep hoping? Keep trying, keep pushing. It's not going your way, but keep hoping. Keep thinking good of God. Keep staying positive. I want to give you one story to illustrate this point. And so inshallah, we can be these kind of people who can witness our miracle. Keep all of those points. God's unconventional. God's all powerful. God knows more than we do. Don't put God in a box. Don't teach God. And don't get negative when something happens that's against us. Sometimes we can learn lessons from the Ahlul Bayt. Of course, the Ahlul Bayt are the manifestation of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A little bit, maybe we can learn from this lesson to see how we should be with God. Please send a salawat. A man came to Amirul Mu'mineen. He came to Ali. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And what happened was the man admitted to a terrible sin. He admitted to stealing. So the first time he admitted, the imam tried to turn his face away. He said, no, inshallah. And the guy came and insisted, no. Amirul Mu'mineen, I stole. Sirqa, I stole.
They all said, no, inshallah.
He kept insisting and kept stating till finally he said it the number of times, it became wajib for the imam to cut his fingers. And the imam did. When the imam cut his fingers, he left. The imam went another way. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein saw this guy, the thief, standing in the road, bleeding. And this guy was shouting the praises of Ali, saying that Amirul Mu'mineen has purified me. Ya'subuddin, the fada'il of Ali. Instead of getting bitter, instead of getting angry, it didn't happen the way, that, instead of that, he's like, no, Ali is good. I maybe made a mistake, but Ali is good. When they saw this, they came to the imam, and they said, we saw this guy in the street, his hands like this, and this is what he's saying. The imam said, bring him to my presence. They brought him to the presence of the imam, and the imam miraculously, he put his fingers back on his hand, and he got that miraculous cure. So if we, you and I, if we can learn this lesson, to keep thinking good of God, even in difficulties, this will help us to experience our miracle. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.